Hello everyone, I'm George Myland. This is the anniversary of the 1918 election. In Ireland, some people call it the Sinn Féin election. Now, the First World War had just ended. Not definitively, there was the armistice, 11th of November 1918. It's possible that negotiations with Germany could break down, the war be resumed. That wasn't clear to the end of June 1919. But the long-delayed Westminster general election was then held, because Parliament had voted to extend the parliamentary term because of the war situation. So the election went ahead. And it was the first time the whole United Kingdom voted on the same day, a Thursday. And they've always been Thursday ever since in the UK. Westminster elections, the local elections, devolved legislature elections, European elections when they existed, and indeed referenda. So let's look at the Irish segment of this Westminster election. And the most notable fact is that of the 106 constituencies, or should I say seats, actually, for Ireland, 73 of them went to Sinn Féin, as in ourselves alone, an Irish party founded in 1905 by Arthur Griffith as a monarchist party, and saw the Hungarian situation as the model for Ireland. So the resurrection of Hungary by Arthur Griffith, in which he adumbrated his plan that there'd be a king of Ireland, he'd also be king of Great Britain, be a sort of dual monarchy like that. Ireland would remain within the British Empire. It was thought that the Hungarians successfully revived their language, although actually Hungarian always remained the lingua franca of Hungary. It was the German was the language of the elite, even those who were ethnically Magyar. But we don't want to go too much into the background of it. That 1916 Easter Rising, wrongly labelled the Sinn Féin Rising, even though the signatories of the proclamation of the Republic, methinks only two of them are members of Sinn Féin. Of those executed, only two of the 16 were members of the party. And so then Eamon de Valera became president of the party. Arthur Griffith stood aside in his favor, and so on. So that, and then the Irish Volunteers was around, came to be known as the Irish Republican Army. And Sinn Féin and the Irish Volunteers were seen as almost coterminous. People often call them Sinn Féin Volunteers and so on. And in that conflict after 1918, the Crown Forces often called IRA men shinners. The election went ahead, and the dominant party in Ireland since the 1870s had been the Irish Parliamentary Party, sometimes known as the Irish Party, the Home Rule Party. Okay, so they had wanted devolution, well, Home Rule within the United Kingdom, a Parliament in Dublin, whilst Ireland would still be represented in Westminster, would still be part of the United Kingdom, equivalent to the situation that Scotland has within the United Kingdom to this day. And John Redmond, its leader for quite some time, had died that March. The guy, he was big in Waterford, and his brother and his son were still part of the party. But the leader after that was John Dillon, who represented East Mayo. So the Unionists had largely abandoned ever outside of Ulster. The only place they were going to win was Trinity College Dublin. Remember, if you were a graduate, and very, very few people were in those days, like 1% of the population, you had a second vote for your university. And so Trinity College Dublin was the only constituency outside of Ulster which voted Unionist. Unionists had sometimes won like places in South County Dublin, was it Dublin, Stephens Green and stuff like that. Or even Galway, which had a high Catholic majority around the turn of the century. But Sir Edward Carson, a Dubliner, had moved to Belfast, and he was leading the Unionist Party there. So the Irish Parliamentary Party had been planning to contest many seats in the south, but a lot of young people had swung away from them with the threat of conscription, because the military situation was very bad for the Allies in 1918. In the end, conscription was not introduced for Ireland. It had been imposed on Great Britain in January 1916. All shades of nationalist opinion were opposed to conscription. If Irishmen wished to volunteer for the Royal Navy or the British Army, that was fine. And when Sinn Féin was against, the Irish Home Rule Party was not against, and really encouraged people to join, but said it mustn't be compulsory. And in the end, conscription wasn't introduced, but Sinn Féin had skillfully exploited this. So a lot of the junior generation had got fed up with a rather grandmotherly Home Rule Party, which for half a century had been saying Home Rule was going to come. And it actually had been passed in September 1914, just after the declaration of war, about a month after the declaration of war, but suspended for the duration of the war and so forth. And with the six Ulster counties to be excluded for at least 6 years. And here we are, well over a century later. And there's still that partition of Ireland. These temporary solutions have a habit of going permanent. Anyway, so some of the Home Rule Party candidates withdrew, particularly in Munster and Connacht, and there was some violence between them, between Sinn Féin and the Irish Parliamentary Party, almost always initiated by Sinn Féin and or the IRA. Only one person was killed, and that was in Donegal. So Sinn Féin tried to disrupt Home Rule Party meetings. In some rule, the Home Rule Party, the United Irish League, their constituency association, had the just withered on the vine. People had defected en bloc to Sinn Féin, which seemed to be the coming party. It was the choice of a new generation. It was more militant, more enthusiastic, yeah, and seemed to have caught the crest of the wave and all the rest of it. This new air of revolution and ultra nationalism. Okay, so what happened? So that's why so a lot of seats were uncontested. Was it 27 constituencies uncontested, mostly in the very south or the very west of Ireland, which were heavily nationalist districts, which when contested, the Home Rule Party previously won 90% of the vote and the Unionists the rest. What else? Uncontested constituencies were not as uncommon in those days. I mean, these days they're unheard of. So go on with the what were the results. So, yeah, Sinn Féin got 73 seats, but only 47% of the vote. Now, admittedly, that's because in the areas where they were fairly strong, nobody stood against them. The Unionist Party came second with 25% of the vote and 22 constituencies, almost all in the northeast, whereas the Home Rule Party only shortly or slightly behind the Unionist Party with 22% of the vote, and they polled only 6 seats. There was a deal in the north where both the Home Rule Party and Sinn Féin would fight the seat, but Sinn Féin would make no effort in this seat. Okay, and likewise in other constituencies, the Home Rule Party put up a candidate, but he was a paper candidate, and it was Sinn Féin made a serious effort and so forth. De Valera stood in 4 constituencies, was elected in 2 of them, and then you have to opt which one you wanted to be elected for. So it was the first one where women were allowed to vote. I think it was over 28, if they were on the local government register, as in were the head of household. What else? The voting age was lowered to 19 for those who served in His Majesty's Armed Forces. Otherwise, it's 21. Previously, you had to be living in the constituency for at least a year. So, like, itinerant labourers couldn't vote. And you, I think you had to be is head of household, either own the house or were not paying the rent. So there's a father and his son, who's 21, living in the same roof. The 20-year-old son couldn't vote previously. So something like 2/3 of the voters were first-time voters, partly because the franchise had been broadened. Moreover, it's been 8 years since the last election. So these virgin voters, for want of a better term, are thought to have broken heavily for Sinn Féin. Of course, people who are more likely to support the Home Rule Party or the Unionist Party, being in the armed forces in the First World War, how many of them was killed? Was there about 40,000 of them which were killed, which was obviously quite significant in an election when not quite 1 million people voted. So there we go. Now, Sinn Féin always says, oh, that was it. Sinn Féin won, we've got to have a republic. But there were loads of things in the Sinn Féin program. You might not agree with the republic thing. And as I say, they didn't even get a majority of the votes. They got a plurality. Now, that's partly because seats weren't contested. That's partly because of their electoral violence and the cheating. Like Tom Barry's wife cheerfully said that she voted many times. There was some personation. People of Great Britain wanted a united Ireland. Okay, well, that's the one thing. I mean, the LCNS didn't want the southern provinces to be expelled. Their priority was to keep Ulster or most of thereof within the United Kingdom. And that was one thing that Sinn Féin and the Home Rule Party agreed on. They want Ireland united. It was united. So why don't we stay where we are in the UK? That wouldn't be a problem. Now, nationalists, they wanted partition and they got partition, but not where they wanted it. They wanted down the middle of the Irish Sea, but in fact, it was across Ireland. So you can't get everything you want. So, you know, the idea of staying with the United Kingdom won many, many elections. If a republic wins once, then Sinn Féin will say, that's it. It voids all the other results. We have a republic now that can never, ever be reconsidered, which is preposterous. But even if every single person in Ireland had voted for a republic, that doesn't mean that we should automatically have one. Okay, so a sovereign state is not obliged to cede territory. Most people in Jammu and Kashmir want independence. India says, you're not independent, you're part of India. That's it. Will not allow secession. Many places would never, ever allow secession. In China, even suggesting independence for a province is punishable by life imprisonment and so forth. You know, goodness. In Russia, proposing independence for any federal subject is a crime in Russia. Now, I wouldn't want it to be a crime, but just because most people in a place, whether you call it a province or a region or a country or a nation, whether they want independence, doesn't automatically mean they get it. There's the indivisibility of sovereign states. Now, these states didn't always become united through democratic means, and of course, almost nowhere had democracy till the late 19th century. Now, in Ireland, in 1800, we had chosen to join the United Kingdom, which took effect on New Year's Day 1801. The Irish Parliament, we had parliamentary government, we did not have democracy. Only a small percentage of men were allowed to vote, and you can figure out about women voting back then. Since 1793, Catholics were allowed to vote, but our parliament was exclusively Protestant at that stage. And now it's not proven that the Catholic community had a different view on this one, because we've got no opinion polls and so on. But Ireland, prior to Strongbow, we had some semblance of oneness, but that wasn't through a democratic process because we didn't have democracy back then. So some polities had conquered others and so forth. So how is a nation created? Usually by force, which doesn't mean it should be broken up by force then. Got independence on British terms. Well, that's the thing is, there's this myth that the Treaty of 1921 was really favorable to Republicans. Well, why did Republicans fight against it to destroy it, considered it a catastrophe and a betrayal? So the thing is, Northern Ireland's place within the United Kingdom was secured. It's still in the UK. The British Army retained three bases. The Royal Navy retained three bases in the Irish Free State. The idea of republic was no. There was an oath to the King of Ireland, George V, which even former Sinn Féiners took, which even Michael Collins, who'd been head centre of the Irish Republican Brotherhood, even he swore that. Southern Ireland, we agreed to pay a portion of the UK's national debt, blah, 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 to stay within the Commonwealth. So this was all things that Republicans thought were terrible. So it wasn't more than a home rule. It was a bit more than home rule. But, I mean, Collins said it was the freedom to achieve freedom, or actually free within the UK anyway. We started becoming less free, restricting free expression or taking away people's right to divorce and so forth. But he meant separation. If you separate from Great Britain, that doesn't make you free. It's preposterous to suggest that you do. Anyway, people of Ireland, we are British. There is no contradiction whatsoever between being Irish and being British. I'm British precisely because I am Irish. It's the completion or not the negation of Irishness. So most of us have a bit of Welsh, Scots, English stock. People in Great Britain, so many are partly of Irish stock. We've been such a mixum gatherum. We've been so mingled for millennia, going back and forth across the sea. There were polities which spanned the Irish Sea long before Strongbow, and into Ireland almost all of us came via Great Britain. I'd say, I know Anasha said to me, by that token, the English are German. The English are a bit German, you know. So, they all ruled by the same monarch for a while. Now, I know all human beings are related somewhere along the line, so we could take this to the fair that we all come from the Rift Valley. So I have to have one nation. Now, that'd be going a little bit too far. But, you know, certainly in North West Europe, there's an awful lot of commonality there. So I don't perceive us gaining anything by separating from Great Britain. Admittedly, the Republic of Ireland have been highly successful over the last generation. Excellent economic policy. So I applaud that. But that's not why we separated. Nobody forecast that, said, oh, we'll have low corporation tax and we'll have Google based here. That's just preposterous to say that they had that perspicacity. So that was the so-called Sinn Féin election. But, you know, Sinn Féin did some badly in some local elections after that in 1919 or 1920 and things like that. So the Republic that wasn't that important to people. And of course, but something like 75% of people in the 26 counties voted for candidates who accepted that treaty of 1921 against a republic. All right. So I've read all the manifestos. What is it? Addressed to the Irish people, which was that was the Irish Home Rule Party's electoral address. What was it? The Democratic Programme, which was Sinn Féin's, if I remember. Thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then PayPal, georgecallan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.